Gizmo back 2 minutes.
Redo!
Not 2 seconds.
Redo!
Not 2 seconds.
Redo!
I said 2 minutes, not 2 seconds.
Redo!
Listening to Just Nerd Stuff. My name is Corey, and these are my co-hosts,
Kirk
and Jacob.
This is episode number 10, but in another reality, we've been doing this for 5 years. Jacob owns a flying submarine car, Kurt's dating Jessica Alba, and I'm Iron Man.
I actually like those.
I
odds.
Like it too.
Yes.
It's just the best.
I can do anything I want in my car.
In other realities, you're whatever you want to be. So I'm Iron Man. Congratulations dating Jessica Alba.
I literally just pulled my car up. It looks like a Bugatti.
You're like James Bond.
Yeah.
It looks like a Bugatti, but it isn't a Bugatti.
So you're James Bond, I'm Iron Man, and Kurt is whoever the hell he wants to be.
I just pull up, though, in the parking lot, and I just stand there, and I'm like, hey, girls, you want to go, you doing anything? You want to go for a ride in my car? And they're just like, that's your car? I'm like, yeah, it's my car. And they're just like, okay, sure. I'm not doing anything. Yeah, okay. I'm just like, all right, so we get in the car and we're driving around. I'm like, so, like, you want to, like, have sex in the car? And they're like, really? In this car? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Sure. It's a Bugatti. And it flies. And it's a submarine. I said, we can go 20,000 leagues under the sea if you want, baby.
Can you imagine
and she's
having
just
sex
like,
20,000 leagues under the sea?
That should be a title for a fantasy novel. But anyway, we
She's
need to let people know.
It works.
It works.
Hey.
And then you take it back to the dealer because you just rented it for the day. You did a test drive.
Whoops. Today's spoiler review is Project Almanac. It's a time travel story for teens, which is also known as Clockstoppers 2. And in the news, a returning character will be appearing in the newest installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean series. Here's a clue. The question to ask is, will he turn the series back to its roots?
You dirtbag.
I know. I messed things
you
up.
You just gave it away.
Hey, everyone. Thank you all for spending time with us today. We really appreciate you listening. I want to apologize right off the bat, though, because I know we said we were doing Hitman Agent 47 this week, and I didn't know it was next week, so that's totally my bad.
Yeah, it made me screw up on my
False
own podcast.
Info,
thank you.
You see what happens when we let you be in charge of stuff?
Learn your facts, Corey.
That's true. He wants to get us back with things.
Well, you know what? You've been screwing up more than I do.
Huh?
Just saying.
Huh?
Oh, I've been listening to the old podcast.
Oh, you got me bad.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I've been listening.
It's very specific.
I will write them down, and I will let you know the
things
you screwed
up. Write down every single problem. I want it on my desk by next week.
Excuse me?
Yes. By next week.
Excuse me?
Yes. He wants it folded, stapled.
And since Edges when
cut.
Were you the boss?
500 page essay. Not 500 word. 500 page. You can do it. I know you can.
Since when were you the boss?
And for
We're
every,
challenging you, Kurt.
Yeah.
This
you're not
going
to take a challenge? Where's your challenge accepted mode?
200 gamer score.
Kurt does not approve.
Okay, 250. No. 250.
Ain't worth it.
I wanted to explain to you guys last week. This is for all the listeners. I kind of messed up. I got really eager with doing a new segment. We did the Look, It's a Thing, and really I didn't explain what that is. That is a segment to streamline anything that we did this past week that we saw that we wanted to highlight for you listeners. Instead of us just going around the table and saying, oh, I really didn't do anything this week, so I really haven't. It's kind of boring. We don't want that on our show. So we wanted to streamline it and get it for you guys and do it much better. So that's what the segment is, and we do have something for Look, It's a Thing, so Jacob has it, so Look, It's a Thing.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
Khakis.
Oh my God. Okay, so I was laying in my bed last night, and I was just scrolling through my news feed, and a friend of mine, who actually I don't even know, I don't even know why we're friends, but luckily we are friends, because he posted this video from the page Robbie Siv. Robbie Siv uploaded a new video, and the only caption was all capital letters, holy F word. I'm not going to say it.
Otherwise, that would be a dollar.
It has over 677,000 views. So I looked at it and I was like, okay. I was kind of confused. It seemed like a weird commercial for something. Should I play it? Yeah, go ahead.
Are you just going to stare at her? It was weird. Good weird. She tasted like...
It's like, every time I see it, I have to laugh. But we should have saved it for the show. But I just... We were showing videos around before we started, and I just thought of this, and I was just like, yeah.
We pretty much lost it. We'll post the video to our Facebook page, but I had not hilarious. Laughed that hard in a long time. I was literally crying and turning purple. It's
basically
to Kurt.
A fake life insurance commercial.
It was the greatest
where
thing.
Little kids get shot.
It's and that's the great thing about comedy. You set it up one way, you don't know where it's going, and all of a sudden pull the rug from under you, and now it's a whole other thing. And
so yeah, there's that thing.
That was a thing.
Over there.
Thank you for that thing.
With the stuff. All right, what do we got for news?
Oh, my God. D23 Expo. Let's get into it. There was a lot of different news from Disney. Kurt? Hi.
Sorry.
Kurt's not even paying attention. He's looking at naked pictures of alligators or something.
Because who would not look at naked pictures of alligators?
All I got to say is, Kurt, pay attention. Corey, continue, please.
Hi, Kurt.
His face. You're not doing what I asked.
He is very intent now. So we're going to get right into it. D23 Expo was this past weekend, and they have a whole lot of news. And what I want to showcase first is Star Wars news. So the first big thing that they had was a teaser poster released by the famed artist Drew Struzan, who did all the posters for Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, Back to the Future, Rambo. And he released a special poster for this expo. And it was a teaser one. It's not the actual theatrical one, but he released it. It looks beautiful. It sets up, I at least think it sets up the characters even just a tidbit, just a little bit tidbit of information. With Finn, who is holding Luke's lightsaber. Which I was kind of surprised by. I thought Rey would be the one to hold like Luke's lightsaber or be that person to pass on, like with the next character in the trilogy. She's the one that goes through the big adventure. But Finn's the one holding the lightsaber.
Okay. I got the names mixed around. I don't know who is who.
Rey's the girl. Okay. And Finn is the
Finn
black
the human.
Stormtrooper. Finn the human.
Finn the human.
I love how you have to say the black stormtrooper.
I'm sorry.
Like, that's not racist.
Well, that's the only way we could say.
No, you just say he's the stormtrooper.
But if everyone, I said that to you, you would probably be going, okay, wait, who's the stormtrooper? Because I know you. You would be like, wait, who?
No,
what?
That's not, because I know the main character is a stormtrooper who just so happens to be black. I have watched the trailers. I understand who the main character is.
Right, okay. But if I just said the stormtrooper, I feel like you wouldn't.
But you would also think the shadow trooper. Or
you felt
whatever,
wrong.
The chrome trooper.
Exactly. It could have been that. It could have been the chrome trooper you saw. We don't know.
For like 2 seconds instead of the other stormtrooper who just so happens to be black that we've seen a million times throughout the trailers.
But not as a stormtrooper. We only saw him for 2 seconds as a stormtrooper in the beginning. And that was
you
it.
You know he's a stormtrooper and then he becomes the main character of the film throughout the trailer. And you can tell this in the trailer if you have any common sense and you just think, stormtrooper, what's the most important stormtrooper Corey would be talking about? Oh, maybe the main character who just happens to be black, which is racist.
But the chrome trooper is also just as important because it's chrome. That's the first time we've ever seen a chrome trooper.
Okay. And then we also saw Sith Lord wearing like a stormtrooper helmet that was black with red on it. And you're like, what the hell is that?
So are we saying I'm racist? Is that where we're going with this?
Yes.
Just because I pointed out an ethnicity.
Everybody, Corey's racist.
I'm just going to go on record. I always assumed that all the stormtroopers were the clone troopers, which they are. and I assumed he was going to be a clone. But then when I saw a black person, I was like, what?
But also think about this. The Death Star had how many troopers on there?
Yeah.
And they were all
exploded. But you also have to think about all the Star Destroyers that were already out there.
Exactly. But they had to build their empire again somehow. It couldn't all be clones.
Yeah, I agree with Corey. True. They probably got rid of, not got rid of the clones, but stopped making them.
Besides,
well, they stopped a long time ago.
Yeah.
Besides the
whole
scene, that up with
think of the whole scene from Clerks. Think of the whole scene from Clerks where they explain everything about the construction workers and bringing them up to the Death Star.
Yeah, I know about all that.
They didn't have their own. So okay.
And I just want to also clear something up. This Chrome Trooper, he is a Shadow Trooper.
She
is a Shadow Trooper. We know.
See, I don't know.
I don't know why
they
want to go
with that
Chrome Trooper, because we know the Shadow Troopers
probably
these dark black ones that could use a jetpack.
Probably because it looks badass.
Well, whatever.
And also, Corey, was he wearing the Stormtrooper outfit in the poster?
No, he wasn't.
You just showed it to me and I already forget.
No, he wasn't.
I didn't get a good look at it. Your brightness on your screen is like extremely low.
No, he has like a...
And I can't even hardly tell what I'm looking at.
Kind of like... It looks like garb that he'd be wearing from the planet of Jakku, where he meets whatever her name is. Rey. I already forgot the name. All right, but anyway.
Rey Palmer.
Point being, amazing looking poster, and I'm looking forward to seeing the new one. Plus, we had an aged Han Solo on there, which...
Awesome.
That's an automatic given. I'm already giving it 100%. Doesn't matter. We also got Star Wars news from Rogue One. We got a new picture, which I showed the guys before we started. And I'd like to point out that it definitely does not have the look of what we know as Star Wars. It definitely gives it a grittier feel.
Actually, I didn't see it.
I showed it to you. I just showed it to you.
Oh, you mean those group of guys?
Yes.
Oh,
I said,
I thought you meant like...
I want to make a point of this. I lifted my iPod. I had the picture on my iPod, and I said, Kurt, this is the cast of Rogue One.
My bad.
And this is what he was doing on his computer.
It's okay. But yeah, I wanted to point out how dreary the picture looked, and it's definitely already going to give us the tone of what we're going to get out of this film for being the first of the anthology films. But from what the producers have said, it's going to be still with that Star Wars general feel that we all get from watching the other movies.
Okay. So what kind of tone do you think we're talking about here?
Well, we've already been proven that it's a heist movie.
Okay.
We're already been given information that it's going to be on the... down with the troopers. It's not going to be up in the sky, not with the Jedi. It's
no one sent me any emails. I don't know anything about any of this.
Didn't you get the memo?
I must not be on the list.
I need you to come in next Sunday.
Can you go talk to Susan from HR? Am I getting fired? She'll walk you through
it. But yeah, basically, I think the tone we're going to get is definitely the war feel. It's directed by Gareth Edwards, who directed the new Godzilla. And whether you love it or you hate the new Godzilla, you definitely can feel the tone of what we're going to get through the new film. And I think it's going to be a good fit. Kurt, would you like to add anything?
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's still a little bit confusing because the whole, how they... basically turn this into an enterprise of movies. It's not just a trilogy / sequel / saga movies anymore.
I don't think this as a series or as an anthology is going to run it to the ground. I actually think getting more is going to be a better thing.
Well, yeah.
I'm totally down for having new films and different viewpoints and... It to me, the universe way of doing movies now is that's the new way of doing it. So it's the next big thing.
I have no problem if
just make a movie about everything.
And also to the cast of Rogue One, Mads Mikkelsen is going to be it, who played Hannibal. He was also...
In the show Hannibal?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's in the
cast.
He was also the guy from... I forgot his name. From Casino Royale.
Oh, you mean Lashif?
Lashif, yeah.
Oh,
he was Lashif.
Okay. Now I know what we're talking about.
He is very, very good, very scary. I'm glad he's in the cast.
Oh yeah.
Wait, also,
does he play the bad guy?
Yeah, he was the bad guy.
No, I mean.
Oh,
in
this one. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
But I hope so. One can only hope.
If he plays an evil god, I'm okay with it.
They need to help me.
He did
it's
a good
my
job.
Only hope.
I hope his eye bleeds.
The other information we got from the expo was Colin Trevorrow, who directed Jurassic World, has been confirmed as the director of Episode 9, which I got a text from my buddy James. Hi, James.
Okay.
I agree with him in the sense that I don't know if this is the best choice, because he only really had just Jurassic World and probably, like, I don't know what is on his list of works, but he's only had a handful. And using him as the new director, it could go either way. This could be a hit or miss.
I think they should have just kept J.J. Abrams for all of them.
Yeah, but they also have Rian Johnson, who's doing Episode 8, and he's co-writing it as well.
Which ones did Rian Johnson
do? He did Looper.
Okay. That movie wasn't that bad, so you know what?
I think ultimately, it doesn't matter. More or less, I feel like, okay, whichever director they give us, fine, but it's really going to come down to the storytelling. That's the important part, because we had three different directors for the original trilogy, and look how that turned out.
I just hope, okay, for the director who's doing 9, though, I just hope he doesn't go overboard with John Williams' music again. Seriously, like I said, they tried to throw it in as fast as possible, and if he does that again, where all of a sudden you hear the Star Wars theme music in the scroll and everything, and then right after it's like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, but
it's just like, come on!
Luke Skywalker shows up again and you hear it, da, 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 it's the theme again.
It's the theme again.
This is very out of place!
And then all of a sudden there's like a quiet moment where they're just talking, and then all of a sudden, da, 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 da.
And then you can't even hear them talking, it's just the music.
It's just the music.
What is going on?
No, the actors actually start screaming at each other. they can't hear
trying to
over,
go
the,
over
music.
The music.
Guys, they've become self-aware. What do? Walk away.
Seriously, like, I just hope he doesn't do that again, because it screwed up Jurassic World for me, at least. And then, if he does it again, I might not be okay with it.
What do you think, Jacob? You think the same thing, or...?
I just think J.J. Abrams should do them all.
I really didn't pay attention. I mean, I did kind of think that the theme in Jurassic World was kind of overused a little bit, maybe.
Perhaps.
Thank you.
But I wasn't paying attention to the music too much in that film. I was
just enjoying the movie.
Yeah, I was just trying to enjoy
it. We'll watch when we go and watch it again when it comes out on Blu-ray. We'll get a better determination from that. Also, with Star Wars news, Disney has announced, and Lord, thank you,
of the Rings,
there is going to be Star Wars based theme parks within Disney World.
Oh, it's already being built.
We have updates to Star Tours, which Kurt and I went on. I have a personal love for Star Tours. They did Star Tours, too, with the prequels, and I didn't get a chance to visit that. I don't know if they'll be keeping it. They may. There's also going to be a new Jedi training center for kids, which...
I don't care. We're going to go do it.
The actor in me wants to be there, and I'll be like, oh, my God, I'm a Jedi.
I went to Disney World once when I was 4.
Yeah.
Do you know how much I remember of it? A little bit.
Next to
a little bit.
I went in
next to
my
zero midichlorians.
I remember
we went my freshman year.
Yeah, I ended up going twice.
You guys want to hear some weird stuff that I remember from when I was 4 in Disney World? Okay,
and
first
now,
of all,
weird stuff
did
that Jacob remembers from
you?
When he went to Disneyland when he was 4.
No, actually.
Oh, so it was goofy.
So
right?
We're on the plane. This isn't actually at Disney World yet. First thing I remember, we're on the plane. I'm wearing these like black like windbreaker shorts, straight 90s. Straight up 90s.
Oh yeah.
They're short shorts too.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there eating carrots out of a bag, and I spilled water on my shorts, and I had to go to the bathroom and dry my shorts off.
This has been a weird thing Jacob remembered when he was 4 and went to Disney World.
Yeah, that was just one thing. We'll
that
say
was just one.
Next episode, I'll have another one for you.
Tales from Jacob. That should be a new segment.
I don't want to have to... I don't.
Tales from Jacob's history.
I could go on
to Disney when he was
weird
4
things
years old.
Jacob remembers. There's a new segment. We got it. There's your whole episode, your own section of episodes.
Weird things I remember.
There's also a hyperspace mountain, which I don't know what that means, but hyper's in the word, so I'm okay with this.
I just hope it's a roller coaster.
It's probably the same space mountain, but just with Star Wars things in it.
Oh my
which
God.
I'm totally down. And how would you guys like to be sitting in an actual cantina?
So you already got us tickets, right? And we're just going to pay you back?
Actually... Now. I have a surprise for you.
Look under your chair.
Nothing's there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I think a pair of your shoes are under my chair.
Probably. Sorry.
Oh, hey, they are.
But that would be cool, because I geeked out when Pizza Planet was down there, and I had pizza
in
Pizza Planet.
Yeah, we went to Pizza Planet, and it was the best moment ever.
I looked around, I'm like,
penis.
You just wish that there was the actual robot sitting there going, welcome to Pizza Power.
Yeah, and the machines with the slushy.
Yeah.
But no,
what's
cool.
The prize, Corey?
Penis Planet.
What surprise? Oh, there is no surprise.
You just said you had a surprise.
My surprise for
us.
You is that you are on our podcast.
Nothing.
And I'm happy to have you. Surprise!
You said you had a surprise for us.
Let's move on to the next piece of news.
We're not going to Disneyland?
Maybe. If you're good. Maybe Santa will give you something.
All right, get on with it.
Pirates of the Caribbean 5. There's really next to no information besides the usual stuff.
Like the title is Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Like that.
Yes.
The cast list, which the returning character that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, is Orlando Bloom. He is going to be coming back as William Turner.
Yay. You mean Davy Jones, basically.
More or less what he is now, yes. The baddie of the film is going to be played by Javier Bardem.
Oh, hey!
I like it. He's going to be known as Captain... and Kurt, I know you love your pirates. Is this one Captain Salazar? Is that one you recognize? Mr. Black Sails?
Hold on.
No.
I'm
going
to look it up, but don't go looking it up.
No. You should have known this. You're a pirates man. And, of course, yeah. Jeffrey Rush is back as Barbossa.
Of course.
And I'm just going to quickly give what the overall synopsis is, because I know nothing about it right now, and I'm looking forward to it either way. The plot is, quote, thrust into an all-new adventure.
Thrust.
A down on his luck... Captain Jack Sparrow, finds the winds of ill fortune blowing even more strongly when deadly ghost pirates, led by his old nemesis, the terrifying Captain Salazar, Javier Bardem, escapes from the Devil's Triangle. Determined to kill every pirate at sea, including him, Captain Jack's only hope of survival lies in seeking out the legendary, and Kurt, we were right, the Trident of Poseidon.
I knew it!
A powerful artifact that bestows upon its possessor total control over the seas. End quote. I'm excited.
That
I'm looking forward to
pretty
this.
Cool.
I'm down. I hope to have a lot of laughs and good adventure.
Yeah. I got to rewatch the most previous one.
I think to me and Kurt, that was the funniest. I don't think it was like funniest in the sense of like, wow, this is forced. Like it actually felt natural.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as good as the others, but it had its own vibe.
No, I think number three is like my favorite one.
But it's still decent.
Four was decent, but I have so many issues with that movie. Like, one was the fact that there was mermaids. Two, Blackbeard, although he did an amazing
Ian McShane did an amazing job. Love that
guy. He did an amazing job, but it was just written wrong.
And don't tell me that Penelope Cruz is a bad thing, because every movie could use Penelope Cruz.
Yeah,
I could use Penelope Cruz tonight after we're done the podcast.
Actually, that's the surprise. Ladies and gentlemen, Penelope Cruz!
Say that again?
Cruz! We're going on a cruise.
Yay! Disneyland cruise!
Disney World!
Yay.
That's what I meant to say, but yes.
I just had issues with that movie, but like once we saw the mermaid and she's like, come, I'll take you somewhere where you can be healed. Me and Corey were just like, Atlantis. It's going to be Atlantis.
Like, come on.
And we just knew.
And I was just like, that's not a mermaid. It's a siren.
Yeah, it really is a siren.
And then, yeah, they had those wicked teeth and they wanted to eat them and stuff. And it was weird.
They're sirens.
It's like, come on. This is easy.
But anyway.
But that's it for Pirates 5. I am looking forward to it. It's supposed to come April next year, I believe. Now on to Marvel. We got some, not a lot of news from Marvel, but they were there showing off a little bit more about Captain America Civil War. They got a teaser there, which YouTube ended up not having, but there is a small abbreviated teaser. It was like 20 seconds long, not even.
Yeah.
And it was just clips of cool things to look at. Crossbones was mostly featured in it.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, Crossbones, like, I was expecting a fight, and there really wasn't. It was just him shooting stuff, and Captain America looking epic and angry, like that.
Yeah, see, I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, Crossbones was actually in Winter Soldier, but he's not the Crossbones we know yet. Crossbones, like, has the logo and everything. That one was more, I guess, militarized.
Yeah.
Look,
I must have missed that part.
What we know as Crossbones. We'll go back and watch it again. It's one of your favorite movies, anyway.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
But there actually was a longer trailer showed there, and the only tidbits I could find from it was Ant-Man featured in it. He was sleeping in the back of a van, and the other Avengers opened it up, and he was there sleeping, but he was, like, fanboying over Captain America being there, like, hi. Like, I could just imagine Paul Rudd doing that. And the only other thing, which I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's funny. There's apparently a quick clip of Captain America and Iron Man looking at each other, and Iron Man says, "Sometimes I just want to punch you in your perfect little teeth." Which sounds exactly something he would say.
Yeah, it is.
I'm looking very much forward to it, and oh man, yeah. Anthony Mackie was there, and so was Chris Evans. They both showed up to premiere this stuff.
That's cool.
And I want to get tickets to a D23 Expo. I feel like that's the place to go next to Comic Con
and E3.
In E3, those are the three places to go at least.
Yeah.
And then the Doctor Who Con we're going to. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Which we'll have a show about that for those listening.
While we're there. And we are going to film it.
We're still trying to get an interview. It doesn't look like it, but we're going to keep trying. Doctor Strange was revealed. Not much again, but there was a quick little video by Benedict Cumberbatch. He greeted everybody saying, "Hey, I'm excited to work on it," blah, 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 actor type stuff. And more or less, they were just saying the look and where they want to go with it, and unfortunately, it's not much. Like, I want more out of that. Give me some more.
Well, they can't give you too much because the film's not coming out until when?
When is it, Kurt? You're the one that likes that. 2017, I believe.
Yeah.
Next year.
No, it's 16.
September, I believe.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Regardless.
But
and you know what's actually funny, though?
What?
As a Doctor Strange fan, I have to say, the fact that Benedict Cumberbatch is playing him, he was my first choice.
I would totally be picking him. He has that stature, easily. I think he has the stature.
Have you ever even seen Doctor Strange?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever even seen Doctor Strange?
Have you even?
Corey, have you literally even?
Bro, I totally even.
I just evened this morning.
I just haven't read Doctor Strange comics, but I know Doctor Strange. Yes.
Like you've seen him in.
I understand.
Animated films?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes. Don't you ever, dare ever question my knowledge.
Yeah, Benedict was definitely my first choice.
And fans everywhere are still not going to pronounce his name correctly. Oh, yeah, that guy. It was Benedict Eggs. That guy.
Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
Benedict Cabbage Patch Kids.
Benedict Cabbage Patch. That's what we're calling him from now on.
Yep.
One other thing I want to bring up from the D23... the new live-action Jungle Book, which I wasn't... These live-action films they've been doing lately, Cinderella and all that, none of that really interests me as an adult. But this one I'm interested only because of the cast. This is fantastic. Jon Favreau is the director again, who directed Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Cowboys and Aliens. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with this, but from what I've heard, the video that they were shown was very photorealistic animals. That were speaking English, which one can only imagine how that turns out. But the cast list is what needs to be noted here. Specifically, five different actors. And here we go, because I told Kurt the actors, but I didn't tell each one who they're playing. Idris Elba. Do we know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He is playing Shere Khan, the tiger.
Yeah.
I can see that with his epic voice. Here's one that's different. Scarlett Johansson is playing Ka, the snake.
Ooh.
I was kind of surprised by that.
I gotta say, I haven't seen The Jungle Book since I was a youngster.
A wee little lad.
Wee little
so,
lad.
Back in the... Shouldn't that be one of the weird things you remember?
Why would that be weird? Why
it's a Disney movie.
Why would you not remember watching The Jungle Book?
I don't know.
Are you a tard?
Why would you not remember everything that happened in Jungle Book?
Bagheera.
Seriously, Jacob.
Bagheera, the panther.
The panthalar?
The panthalar. The panther is being played by Ben Kingsley.
Okay.
Okay, yeah,
good choice.
You know what?
He's of that accent, so it works. Here's my two favorites. King Louis the orangutan is being played by Christopher Walken. You can never have enough Christopher Walken in your life. Ever. Especially with being... I want to be like you. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Again, my Christopher Walken impression.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be here every Monday morning. And my favorite...
I think all of our favorites.
easily, Baloo the Bear is being played by Bill Murray.
Oh my gosh.
Bill frickin' Murray.
Bill freaking Murray.
That's great. That's like the best casting. And apparently in the trailer, he sang Bare Necessities.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. I'm just that cast alone. Those five has sold me. That is one heck of a cast, and I am going to be there to see that. I'm very much looking forward to it. Oh, yeah, so much.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for the D23 Expo. That was a great news week. Actually, it was all over the weekend, so what's with the week? Nothing else happened. Who cares? Anyway, let's get into the movie, guys. Project Almanac.
What the hell is that?
This is some sort of a machine.
Here we go, Project Almanac.
That's something my dad was working on.
Temporal relocation prototype?
What does that mean? It means time travel.
What?
We should try to build it.
We can't build a time machine.
I mean, did you see the tape at your 7th birthday? I mean, I think we already did build it.
So out of 5, guys, how did you guys feel about this movie? It's a time travel movie. Everybody likes a good old time travel movie.
Well, I don't know about Kurt, but because Kurt watched it without us, but me and Corey just watched it like 2 hours ago. And and
I watched it a while ago.
It was good. Like, I think I enjoyed that. I have to say, I think I enjoyed it the most out of all of the films that we've reviewed so far.
Yeah, me as well. Well, I can't say all, but I will say it was in the top few that we've reviewed because
we've only viewed a few.
10 movies.
You called the house around 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And my mom answered and she was like, yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, he's watching it right now.
I was like, oh, okay, bye.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that was actually the second time I watched it because I watched it yesterday. So I watched it twice because the first time I was like, okay, this is freaking cool, but then I'm watching the movie again to like get a better understanding of everything.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I watched it the second time, it was kind of better at the same sense. I mean, I could pick out a few things that I didn't like. Like, I can really say I didn't like, but out of 5, I gotta say it's 4.
4. Okay. Yeah. Jacob, what do you say?
That's what I was gonna give it a 4 because I'm pretty much basing it on how much I enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than any of the other movies that we've gone to see. It just really kind of, it like really makes you think about time travel and like, what if you did this? Like, you think back like in your past and like, what if I did this at that time instead of what I did? And like, you just really start thinking about that kind of stuff because it just all gets messed up and jumbled up in the film. And then I'm just like, wow.
Because you got to really take into 100 different factors with time travel. And that's one of the things I was going to say that I liked about it is that they really went into the science of it.
Yeah.
It's not just, okay, time travel, this is going to be fun. Okay, cool. It's literally what, like, the cause and effects, the butterfly effect, the ripple effect.
Right.
All these small little things that can change it. They really researched and did their science about it.
Yeah. And, for those of you who do personally know me and for the listeners out there who don't, time travel is one of my favorite aspects of stories ever.
Same here.
I'm currently working on my own book, which is taking who knows how long it'll ever be finished, but it's a process. But it's a time travel book, and time travel is easily my favorite stories ever. Doctor Who is my favorite TV show. Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies. You know, and you go down the list of time travel stuff. There's still time travel movies and stuff I want to watch, but I'm kind of picky when it comes to time travel stories, and yet at the same time I'm kind of lenient. You have a movie like Looper that took it so seriously and had such a different take on it. Whereas this film, while I agree with you, Kurt, it took it seriously at some points. It also kind of threw it out the door for other scenes, and that's the problem with time travel stories is that you have a balance. How do you want to perceive your film? Do you want it to just be fun and not worry about the science, or do you want it to be a serious time travel story and play with the rules and then bend it maybe once realistically? And this film, I felt, did half and half. Let me go into the out of 5. I think the out of 5 for me, I'm going to go with a 3.5. I did enjoy it, and it's a solid 3.5. I felt like it was good. It was enjoyable. I think the story, even for me, was actually pretty solid. I was actually kind of surprised with how well it turned out. I was expecting this to be crap.
Yeah, I know, because me and Corey were sitting there. Like,
oh,
like
no.
Even Corey came downstairs. He was like, all right, I got it. And he was like, you know, I don't think this is going to be very good. And, like, I remember hearing about the film, but I didn't remember, like, what the trailer was about. And then while we're watching it, I'm, like, seeing stuff from the trailer. But we put it in, and we just see MTV Productions logo. And we were just like, this is going to be garbage.
Oh, no. I did enjoy it. I was pleasantly surprised. The actors at first I thought were... Which I actually just found out the casting process for this film actually took like 6 or 7 months or something like that. It was very long.
Wow.
And they were looking for the right people to do this. And at first I was like, oh, it's just a bunch of teenage actors or early 20s. And I'm like, okay, I'm not really... This isn't going to be anything special. We're not going to have the best acting. But I was actually surprised by the end of the film how it turned out, how each person gave their all in these performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were all very exceptional in the parts that they played. Like, yeah. The girl who was, the love interest.
Jesse.
She was, at first, you know, she played the snotty kind of bitch character. And then she just turned out to be this, like, very deep character with the feelings that I wanted to come out of her.
And she was sweet. And I don't really even think, like, at the beginning she was even playing a bitch. I think it was just that they were, like, building her up to be that girl when they see her around the school.
Right.
You know, and they talk about her. It's just like you just assume she's like the popular hot chick. She's automatically going to be a bitch.
And I already have to laugh. I'm going to point this out before I forget. Because it's MTV and it's teenagers, every boy is horny. I laughed at that every time. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, seriously. Because
teenage boys, they're horny.
Yeah,
they
were just showing like bathing suits and wet t-shirts and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
In like this one scene, like in the middle of the film. And even I'm sitting there, I'm like, I have no idea how old some of these girls are.
But I'm enjoying this.
I might go to hell, but I'm enjoying this.
And that's the sad truth about today with the way society
we're
is.
We're all
today.
Going to hell.
But, so I'm going to, first of all, I want to start pointing out with the story, how the story at first, the setup was like, okay, we get it. We need to get to the point, get to the characters and everything. It was an okay setup. It was kind of eh for me. But when it really started picking up, it was exactly what I felt like I would be doing with a time machine. Would I be going back to get myself money from the lottery? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Duh. Exactly. Would I be going back in time to try to meet the right girl and do... It's that rewind story, that redo. Would you redo things in your life? And you would.
That's basically exactly what it is. It's like the whole central plot of the film is they find a time machine in the basement.
Well, they find a blueprint.
Okay, basically what happens is the kid is trying to get into MIT. I already forget his name.
David. David Raskin.
I knew it started with a D. I'm just horrible. I'm horrible.
We're going
with
to you for the characters, Kurt, because yes. I don't remember the characters either.
I'm just horrible with any names in general. Anyone.
Kurt's
names.
Got an IMDb on his computer.
Awesome. Okay, so David, he's like 17 or 18 years old. He's trying to get into MIT. Him and his friends, his two
Quinn
friends,
and Adam.
Quinn and Adam, are working with his sister. What's his sister's name?
His sister's name?
Christina.
She was a babe, too.
Which I don't see why she'd be picked on in high school at all. But
yeah, absolutely not. But
it is what
so
it is.
They're all working together on a project. She's behind the camera. They're filming this cool little like helicopter plane thing that he made. So he can try to get into MIT. Well, he gets into MIT, but he doesn't get the full scholarship. So he's trying to find a new experiment to work on so he can get another scholarship so his mom doesn't have to sell the house to go to MIT. Which makes sense. So he's rooting around in his dad's old stuff in the attic, and he finds a camcorder with a video from his 7th birthday. He looks into the camcorder and basically sees himself as he is in present day, 17, 18 years old, whatever, standing
at his 7th
birthday party in the mirror, wearing the same shirt that he had on.
Yeah.
And he was trying to explain it to his friends and all.
Yeah, and he was trying to figure it out. So then they go down into his dad's basement. They find a box full of parts and blueprints to build a time machine, and they start working on it and build it. And then they start sending stuff back in time, like they send a model car back.
They test it. And then
they start testing
they do
things.
It themselves.
And then they get the hot girl in on it because they're having a party across the street, and he runs across and he...
He uses jumper cables to her car to actually power the thing.
He's just like, hey, you can park your hybrid in my driveway if you want. this isn't sketchy or anything.
Yeah.
And then she just goes to the party, and then she comes back. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like she would have been gone for a lot longer, but at the same time, like, the footage is very chopped up.
Well, she actually said she had to run back to her car because she forgot something.
That's true.
Oh, did she say that?
Yeah, she did.
I missed that part. But,
Well, yeah. We don't have to explain the full movie or anything. Well,
so that's basically how we get. That's how we get all the characters together.
So, no.
But ultimately, like, the way the story was set up with time travel and everything, I actually bought into it because the plot is where, like, you take away the time travel rules. Like, you can't really go back. Let's say time travel exists. You cannot go back to a point in time you were already at. You can't do that. That would be physically impossible according to time travel, because that's a paradox. You were already there. If you go back again, you'd be seeing yourself doing what you already did.
Yeah.
Okay? So the redo is what the point of the film is. And and that's where I'm saying where the balance is. Where do you want to fit your story? You can throw certain rules out. You can put certain rules in. So that part was focused on the story. And that's what I did like. If you ignore that, I liked it. It was a funny scene, especially where he's trying to correct himself in science class with his teacher.
Yeah, the one kid.
That was funny. Okay. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, what I was going to say about that, how he tried to fix, like, he tried to get his question right because they did a pop quiz and he started off and he kept screwing it up. But every time that they went back and tried to do it again, the teacher would change it up. That is a real thing about time travel, because time is not in constant motion. It changes.
So it's more like a big ball.
Yes. It's a big wibbly wobbly timey wimey ball.
Stuff.
Yes, we know that.
Stuff.
Okay. But the point is that just because you've seen something happen, if you went back in time, doesn't mean that will happen in the exact same way again.
Right.
Because time is not linear. Time literally can change. Anything can change with any reason.
And it's all because of that ripple effect that was explained in the film later on in the
film. Cause and effect, ripple effect, and butterfly effect.
And that's the butterfly effect. It's where a butterfly could flap its wings on one side of the Earth, and on the other side of the Earth, a volcano starts or a tidal wave begins.
Anything can happen based on doing something again. That's why time travel is very lucid. Like, I mean, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
It's not saying it's not possible. It's still theories.
Yeah. That's one of the things that was explained in Doctor Who, where the episode where Rose's dad dies and she saves him. He explained to her, there is a man here that is alive that wasn't alive before. Mm-hmm. Things are going to change. She thinks it's not going to be much. He can see the ripple. He can see it's going to change a lot.
Yeah,
exactly.
And thus in plays one of the parts where the main character, David.
Yes,
David. Am I okay? I'm going to keep coming to you. When David goes back on his own to correct what he did wrong, he thinks it's nothing.
Yeah.
But the ripple effect caused an airplane to go down because the pilot was the one kid's dad of the basketball game and didn't go and whatnot. But that ripple effect is what I did appreciate. They brought that science back into the film with the time travel.
And you knew when it was going to start happening, because the whole film was all peaches and gravy. The whole, like, until they got to the huge concert thing, and then they get to the concert, and you're like, all right, this has to be, like, the best, most happiest, fun part of the film.
And you know it's going to go
And then you
down.
Just know that right after this, it's going to get really, really real.
What I actually really liked about that is the fact that they didn't fake it. They literally filmed at Lollapalooza. I thought that
they
was
had
cool.
Imagine Dragons appear in there.
Dude, it is an MTV movie.
I don't know what the other band was.
Yeah, I don't know
do
either.
That they were on stage for and everything. I don't know, but I think it's pretty cool that they actually filmed there. So whoever was in the crowd at that Lollapalooza was actually in a movie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that they're like, oh my God, they're filming a movie.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
I also appreciate the way, now getting off the story a little bit, but the characters themselves, I was actually kind of surprised with how the group I actually thought was funny. Like his best friend who, like, they said, we need to go. And he's like, but I need to get done having sex with all these girls.
Oh, yeah, Quinn.
No.
He's like, however you put it.
He was like, meet me under the bleachers in like an hour or something like that. And he was like, yeah, if I'm finished having sex with all these girls.
he was that, he's that character that all of us, I think, want to be. Because even later in the film, when he knows things need to change, he's like, but we have attention. I've never had this.
Exactly.
To me, that is a character that speaks to the audience.
Yeah,
it really
that
does.
Is somebody that we've all wanted to be. Because at one point or another in our lives, we all felt more or less ignored.
And then you get that even before that, you get the same thing with the main character David, how he, the first time he goes back in time, they created a rule in the film that they all need to jump together. They're not one of them is supposed to go back alone. They all need to go together. And when they were at Lollapalooza, David realized that he screwed up with Jesse because he totally could have went in and kissed her, mm-hmm. but he just kind of blew her off because he's a nerd, and he doesn't know how to react around girls. So
exactly.
And
fair.
And then he realized a couple days later, like, yeah, he really screwed up, and he could have had her, and he wants her, but it's just not going to happen now. So he's like, wait a minute, yeah. I got this second chance machine. How about I just go back by myself?
And that's where the real problem.
Why didn't they call the movie that title?
Yeah,
and the second chance machine.
And then, yeah, well, then that's when it really starts to get messed up. And yeah. So he kisses her, and then they're together, but he wakes up and everything is different. And then he realizes, he ends up having to go back and change it, but he doesn't want to because. Then he won't have her anymore, and that also that part really spoke to me too because she was really that important to him that he went back and changed time, altered reality, and like destroyed so much stuff.
That's
just
why
to be with
I
her.
Feel like all these characters that were in this movie can apply to people of today, like how we would react if we found out that we had time, time travel machine,
right?
Like you would want money, you would want power, you would want.
The girl,
everything like that kind of situation you would do like you. That's the thing.
If
you
had the ability,
if
you had the ability to play God, basically.
And I love how when they first figure it out and everything, they're like, "So what should we do?" And he goes, "Well, we got to kill Hitler. I mean, that's time travel 101." I mean, it's kind of a true statement because
that's the paradox effect.
But yeah, that's the thing because, I mean. With time travel, we would want to fix certain things and we would want to be certain people because we could fix ourselves, basically.
Yeah, if you have the ability to do
it.
We
could be someone that we're not. And that's why, like, going back in time, killing Hitler, I mean, going back and, like, finding out, like, you can win the lottery or something. Like, those kind of things are what makes time travel real, in a sense, where it reflects to us as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I would totally do that, but then they show the repercussions of what happens when you go and do that.
Exactly.
And it actually gets really insane towards the end of the film where, like, David's just, like, he has no idea what to do. And he's, like, freaking out, and he's, like, running from the cops and stuff, just crazy.
That was also what I was going to say, the fact that it was real to the repercussions, because if we're doing all this and we're, like, time traveling, and we could change all these things. We wouldn't think about the repercussions. We would just be more focused on what we can do.
Yeah.
And then when that all happens and everything, all hell breaks loose, we would want to be freaking out on trying how to fix it.
Yeah.
But actually, another thing, what I was going to say, like the little things that you notice, like how things changed based on them going back and forth through time. Did you notice about David's mom? How she was searching for a job, but then they go back in time once. All of a sudden, she has a job, and then they do something else, and then all of a sudden, she's looking for jobs again.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do anything with her. Like, it had nothing to do with her at all.
He just comes back, and then his sister walks in the room. She's like, "Come on, we gotta go. We got 5 minutes." And he's like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "What the hell is she talking about?"
Yeah.
And he just gets up and walks out because he kept jumping back and forth by himself and just messing everything up.
Yeah.
So there wasn't that many things I didn't like about the film, but what was your guys' favorite parts? Like your favorite scene or something? Like if you had to say, because I have one.
Just the Lollapalooza. I liked everything about it because I want to go to one, really. I really do.
Okay.
That was pretty much fun.
Honestly, when they sent the car back in time and then you see them from the car up on the wall, like filming them, that I thought was so cool. For the first time seeing it was one of the coolest things. Other than that, was like probably near the end.
Although
when he was basically,
did you think to yourself though, if you were in the middle of that scene and they were like, "Oh, guys, check out my hand and how it's changing," like I'm thinking to myself, that's dangerous.
Yeah, would you actually do that?
Oh, no. Good, this is cool. I'd be like,
but at the same time, if you're seeing it, you would just be like mesmerized. You wouldn't immediately stop. You'd just be like. Oh,
I can't help
God.
It. It's so beautiful.
Be like, I swear, I didn't eat any shrooms today. What's happening? Who gave me acid? Who gave me acid?
What was your favorite part, Jacob?
Like near the end? I like the more dramatic scenes. Like, I think my favorite part was when he finally tells Jesse that he went back in time to Lollapalooza.
Oh, man,
Changed that whole thing to make her be with him.
Yeah.
And then that whole scene where she's like,
was good.
Yeah, she's like freaking out and crying, and she like doesn't trust him and doesn't know what's going on, and like he's like doesn't know what to say to her.
Yeah.
And it just starts getting really crazy at that point.
I completely forgot another one of my favorite moments you first see the paradox. Not with Jesse.
Oh yeah,
because right after that scene that I just described, Jesse
sees herself.
She sees herself, and then they both disappear, and he goes back in time. She's gone.
Yeah,
like she's completely gone. She's missing. No one knows where she is. The cops show up at his door, and then that's when it just all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, because the paradox corrected itself. But the first time when Quinn sees himself, they're like, what? And then all of a sudden, just like they're like about to disappear from existence.
Yeah,
I was just like, what?
Yeah, so, yeah. That's a paradox.
I thought it was so cool.
I think more or less we all enjoyed it. I think the biggest thing, and I don't know how you feel, Kirk, because I know Jacob and I agree on this. The biggest problem I had was probably the cinematography.
Yeah,
was only because the way it was filmed, handheld. To me, that is a very specific type of filming. If you're gonna use that, really have it a purpose for it. And the purpose for it in this film was the whole thing with the video camera at the beginning of the film and then the end of the film where they find it in the attic. That's the only purpose. Otherwise, there were numerous moments in the film that I would never believe anybody is filming this.
Well, no, I thought that the main purpose was they were filming his MIT video to get into MIT, and that's why they were filming. That's why they started filming the time machine stuff, but they were filming things that were completely unnecessary for the purpose of being filmed.
Filmed just for the audience to understand the scene.
But then at the same time, when they found out that it time travels, like you see the car from that viewpoint and everything, but they said, we need to film everything.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, it's not just about, like, this project anymore. It's more or less, they discovered time travel. That's a huge thing, and they got to document it and
claim
it as their own.
Yeah, I just think, like, there's things, like, where he's, like, contemplating to himself, should I go back in time by myself or shouldn't I? When he has a camera behind him filming him, I'm like, I wouldn't be filming myself doing that, but I would film myself putting the camera on ready to go.
Yeah.
But that part was strictly for the audience to see him going through his...
Yeah, there are places where they wouldn't need to.
That's
record.
The one problem with that kind of cinematography. Yeah.
And like when they were at, they showed more footage of him at his birthday. Like somebody just like randomly caught his dad saying goodbye to him, talking to him like, "Hey, I gotta go," and then walking out the door. And it's like, okay, first of all, they would not have ever been able to pick up the audio of that over a giant party with a bunch of screaming kids. Secondly, who's filming that at a party when they're supposed to be filming the party?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, like, the situations where they're far away from the camera, what, are they all just wearing lavalier mics?
That's what I was thinking. That was, like, our main concerns is that it's, like, the main objective of the handheld part was to film his progression through his experiment to try to get to get the full scholarship to MIT, and they were just filming stuff that was unnecessary for that purpose.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and then there were also parts like when they were at Lollapalooza where there was no possible way that any of it was handheld by any of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely not at all. Also,
and I will say this, one of my biggest issues with the movie was when they hooked the car up to power the time travel machine. When they hooked the car up, they used a bunch of
like jumper cables
attached to each other. No.
Dangerous.
That is by far one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen.
I mean,
in a movie,
it would work
ever.
As long as none of them touched.
Yeah. As long as you're stretching them really far. Like, they're just going to clang together when you're trying to pull them that close.
Well, I mean, they did show the danger of it because they saw smoke coming in through the window, and then and they realized they were, like,
oh,
burning
God.
Her battery
car
up.
She's like, oh, my God, my car! Like, she freaked out. So that was my biggest issue with that movie.
And that was really it for me. I mean, you could nitpick all the little time travel discrepancies and whatnot, but really, in that kind of a movie, you gotta go with it. Unfortunately, you gotta go with it. Don't think too hard, and just enjoy it. So
yeah,
I think that was really it from all of us. And so, final thoughts, guys. I mean, I think ultimately we all pretty much enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it's a decent movie to sit around and just watch a Friday night.
If you haven't watched it, watch it.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth.
I would definitely recommend watching it. I definitely would see it again. Like, I'd watch it again tomorrow.
What's funny is actually I was saying I'm gonna buy it because I really like that movie.
If somebody wanted to watch it with me tomorrow that hadn't seen it, I'd watch it again. I'd be like, sure, yeah. Because, I mean, starting out, you're kind of like, I don't know where this is going. This might not be good because I didn't have much faith in it. And then I was like, wow, I was actually really impressed.
It's actually, it's one of those enjoyable films that I didn't hate, I didn't love, but I definitely enjoyed my time watching it. And I wouldn't mind watching it again. Yeah, so.
I don't know.
Recommend it to all. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's get into our Ask the Nerds segment, which I actually have a question for you guys. Since we're going on the topic of time travel, if you had the ability to time travel and you only had one place to visit or one time to visit, where would you go?
Oh, God.
And I can start off this one because I'm going to start off on kind of a serious note, being a Jehovah's Witness. I actually, because, you know, biblically and religiously, everything's based on faith.
You want to see if Jesus was there.
I want to see if Jesus existed and performed the miracles. I want to see if that happened. And if that happened, it would be a lot easier.
I bet you any money, if we figured out time travel, there would be some way that we could not go back there.
Watch it. God's like, ha-ha.
No. No. And I feel like that's the reason why time travel is not possible right now, is because if it is possible, God isn't allowing it for us because of that.
Probably.
Reason. We have to take it on faith.
There's a lot of mysterious things in this universe.
So, I mean,
I hope that no one ever figures out time travel, at least not in my lifetime. I don't want to be around it.
But
I
at the same time, it wouldn't really affect you because this is one timeline. Wherever they go, that's another timeline.
Now, here's the bigger question.
Yeah, for them.
Now, here's
but
the
then if
question.
They come back to here, I mean, I guess...
They wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Well,
they
wouldn't be able to. They would come back to a separate timeline. So yeah, we would all be all right.
We'd be fine.
I have a question.
Yeah.
All right. Invite time travel people.
This time travel idea that you say, what time could we go back to? Would we come back to now, or we would stay there?
Yes. You could come back.
Well, technically, we wouldn't come back to now. We'd come back to a different version of now.
Okay. Well, then let me correct my question. You could go to one place, and then you are able to come back with no consequences.
Okay. Well, hold on. That's not possible.
That's just insane.
Yeah, because
if...
Okay, with no consequences, I would go back and kill Hitler.
Okay, there you go.
Well, or I would just go back a few days and win the lottery.
That's always true. That's kind of selfish,
just
though.
Just saying. Hey.
Hey, you asked me this question, Corey.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take care of myself. Damn.
What do you think, Jacob?
Man, this is going to sound crazy. But I'd probably do a David sort of thing, where I'd go back in time, and I would redo a certain part in, like, one of my relationships, so that way...
You know what? I kind of agree with that as well.
It would still be... we would still be together.
You know what? I agree.
I don't
want
to get specific about it because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want people to listen to this and be like, oh, like you, if you know her or whatever. But like,
I think we all agree that there's always that one that got away in our history. And for me and the one big relationship I've had, I always wondered if I went back and saw how I reacted in certain situations. Mm-hmm. How could I look back and change that, and would it turn out better? Like, would Destiny play a lot better, and things would work out the way I want it to?
Well, see, because, like, even in the film, David had to rewatch all of the footage of him and Jesse, like, interacting with each other to see, like, what he did wrong.
Right.
And, like, look at all the signals she was sending him. And it's like, with me, like, I know what I did wrong throughout all of my previous relationships and stuff like that. I know what I did wrong, and I know what I could have done better, because every time I make mistakes, like, I just think about, like,
yeah,
you know what,
how
there's
I
one
could,
mistake
how
I made
could do
a long
it better
time.
Next time.
I agree with you, Jacob. I'd rather take a mistake I made a long time ago, and I'd rather fix that more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I won't go into detail either, but it dealt with a girl as well.
This has been a very tender moment from the nerds.
I don't need to be rich. I don't need to have a nice car. I don't need to be famous. I just want to go back and fix one mistake.
You'd rather take happiness over that.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I love you guys.
I gotta admit,
this is great.
That movie actually made me think that as well.
Yeah.
That's probably another reason why I liked it so much. Because
it makes
about
you think about in reference to you yourself.
Yeah, and you and your life. It's a very relatable film.
If there were no consequences, hell yeah.
I'd fix that mistake I made too.
Yeah. Well, let's pick up the pace a little bit. This is very, very tender, very emotional.
Can we say two fun facts about this movie?
Why not? I got a fun fact for you. It's not really fun, but it's a fact. But before we get into the facts, we need to say, first of all, thank you all for listening. You can follow us on Podomatic.com. You can also download us through iTunes Radio on the podcast app. You can like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at JustNerdStuff1. Don't forget to get involved. Give us a comment. Ask us a question for our Ask the Nerds segment. Give us suggestions, because our show is shaped by you. And as always, make sure to share our podcast around, because we need to spread the nerdiness. I can't say anything today. Thanks for listening. Here's the fact I got. In the scene in Project Almanac where the characters are watching an airline crash on their laptop, the footage is actually of a real B-52 crash accident that killed four Air Force officers in 1994. Relatives of the officers complained about the crash appearing in the film, and Michael Bay apologized and had the scene removed. Yeah. So whatever they have in the film was not a real thing. It looked fake anyway, but...
So, yeah. Man.
But that's so much... That sounds like Michael Bay.
Yeah.
He just cares about the money. Mother effing money!
So anyway, my facts... Sock money, for those of you who don't know and always wondered, the title Project Almanac has to deal with the almanac that Biff Tannen stole and used for his own purposes in Back to the Future Part 2. It's a direct... like little nod toward it.
Who doesn't love a little bit of Easter eggs?
I know, right?
Especially that.
You guys are Jehovah's Witnesses. You don't celebrate Easter.
I know.
Who doesn't love an egg?
Who doesn't love an egg?
Everybody loves an egg.
Yeah.
With my freedom fries.
That sounds better.
Stay nerdy, universe.